interviews, and professional sports news all in one place.
Roberts playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You are listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
Happy Thursday, birds. I'm starting to get sick of the got it at the beginning of the show. I don't know. It's my own voice. It's like hearing your own voice on camera. I think it is a fun call. It's one of my favorites, but it's like now it's becoming the intro to our show, and then you hear me like trashing the ISU quarterback room, which obviously Zach Anixter didn't like when he came onto the show that one time. So
wait, I think were you gaslighting him that time then?
No. I think I was talking. I don't remember if it was the ISU quarterback room or if it was the Bears. I honestly don't remember. I couldn't tell you. Ben's giving me a look. I honestly don't. I couldn't tell you. But if Zach asks, yes, I'm going to side with the version that doesn't include him. Yes.
Yeah.
So is Zach gaslighting Fogerson?
I don't know.
We're journalists. We could say whatever. Like that.
All right, quarterback, yellow journalism.
We're not a quarterback. We're not the quarterback.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to this episode of the Red Zone. We just did some stock images outside. We have our Red Zone promotional WZND images you will see if you come into Fell Hall. We usually just take a nice pose photo around the Reggie Redbird statue. This time, to Ben's distaste, Fogerson and I decided we were going to have some fun with it. So we did a cool one with our ZND banners. We did one riding a swing like it was a canoe. We did one. What were the other ones we did? Oh, we did like a goofy Peden Point by the Redbird.
Yeah. I did like the banners one.
The banners one goes hard.
Really cool.
Hopefully that's the one that wins the sweepstakes.
We love you, Deb. Please choose the correct
picture. Banner one. Yeah. The banner one. Speaking of Peden, he's going to be on the show today. It's a pre-recorded interview with Ryan Peden and Luke Kazubke. Ben and I did that one on Friday prior to the big weekend for Redbird basketball. That's coming up at 6:10. But first, boys, let's talk about it. Big weekend. A collective 70-point victory among two games for ISU and their Division III opponent, Illinois Wesleyan. I don't think we expected them to lose, but Ben, you and I were on the call for the men's game. Let's start there. A nice handed victory, about 32 points, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, it was just beautiful to watch, right? Really cool event, and I hope they continue to do this going forward, but felt really nice to see the Redbirds take home a win, and I think we got a good idea of what this team could look like this year, and I think it's mostly positive after a big win against Wesleyan. Obviously, they got to play some D1 competition first before we get a real picture, but I think we got a good idea of who will be playing and who won't this year, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, and I think we got to see a lot of the younger guys, right?
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing. I don't think we're going to see as much of them in the regular season, but I think Coach definitely relied on some of his younger guys in their first ever exhibition. And I liked what we saw. Chase Walker, I think we can start there. The big 6'9", new power forward looks really incredible.
Well, in the interview you're about to hear, we asked him about the young guys, and really Coach Peden doesn't really have an answer for what he was going to say. But then you asked him in the post-game press conference about the young guys, and he just was nothing but praise for them. I put it in my story because I love the quote so much. But Chase Walker, he looked really good.
Mm-hmm.
He is huge. He should be an offensive lineman at this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was all over the boards and even wasn't scared to take a 3-pointer as well. So it was really
cool
to see him. Yeah.
He was definitely getting out his shots and figuring out what's his kind of his lingo. He seemed to be kind of stretching out all of his shots and seeing what he was good at early on in that game and throughout the game. Ty Pence kind of came into his own, though. Ty Pence, from the get-go, was a slasher, was fighting his way up into the paint, and was able to have a pretty solid game. Another freshman on this Redbird team.
It was really cool to see, considering I think he's the one that has most Redbird fans the most excited. And exactly what you just said, he's a slasher. He's going to get to the basket, and he won't be afraid to take the mid-range jump shot. And I don't think we saw him attempt a 3-pointer, but that behind the head dunk that he had was just so cool.
And he looks like Zac Efron.
Yes, he does.
We talked about that on the call.
I didn't know where you were going with it, and then you brought up a fictional basketball player, and my mind just kind of was it.
You're
blown.
Just like, what am I doing?
Yeah, what am I doing
here? Oh, I have a show, a weekly talk show with this guy, and he's talking about Zac Efron during the game. They were up 30.
Like, yeah,
100%. It was like the energy of the second half of that call was like the seventh inning in a baseball game in the West Coast, and one team is losing by 10. Like, it's that classic. I know Chip Carey probably doesn't do that because he's too professional. But, you know, the Cubs announcers usually fall into that fun. I can never see Chip Carey talking about anything but, and two strikes here for Yadier Molina, my Wilson Contreras.
No,
prove me wrong.
I don't think I can.
He's very formal.
He's, yeah, and, like, you're not going to get the on TV, you can't get the radio stuff that you got from Major League, where he's just pretending something's going on when it's really not. And he's like, just a touch outside, and really it like didn't even it in the correct direction at all. Like,
they snap the bat. They just snap like a plankton on a desk, so it sounds like a bat. And they're like, "Oh, that's a deep drive to left." It's nothing.
Yeah, we Blake Borgart and I, when we did our internship last summer, did like TV stuff a little bit. And so like during downtime, we'd be talking to each other just about random stuff. And our boss is like, "Don't do that. Just focus on the game." So
no,
I don't know.
Like,
it might depend on the personality, but they told us not to do that.
It did turn into kind of like a mini episode of Red Zone.
It was
with
Red
Mikey
Zone.
Calling a game here and there.
It was Red Zone.
It was, I think, rightfully so.
I'm a seasoned professional, but
exactly.
But at the end, I'm not. But at the end of the day, in this game, we had some fun, and I'm not actually professional by any means. That was a joke. Let's really quick, before we move on to the interview, you both have a volleyball game this weekend. The ISU volleyball team, let's take like a minute here, was really streaking, had 9 wins in a row, and then lost to both teams in Iowa last weekend. And unfortunately, they head back home on a 2-game losing streak, but they have a chance in their final home weekend to kind of put a bow on what has been a great turnaround this season.
It's actually a pretty big moment, especially for Valpo. Illinois State needs to win their first one, obviously, for it to be a better shot. But Valpo's down just 1 game in the MVC standings, and they have a better non-con record. So overall, their record is better. And so therefore, if the Redbirds go in still up only 1 over Valpo, who faces Bradley tomorrow, so they're not going to lose that, then that means if winning and losing decides whether Illinois State or Valpo takes a seat above one another.
We have a pretty packed show, but I think maybe next week if there's new developments, we'll talk about it. Bradley might be bumping down to our favorite Division 3. They might be. Might be joining Illinois Wesleyan in the CCIW.
I don't know how serious.
I think
that
it's
is.
More. I mean, they're a bigger school than those other schools, but I think that would fit better. There was a rumor. There was reports today, and I'm just going off the dome with this, so I'm not totally reporting this. But there was rumors and reports that our own faculty advisor Steve Cease was tweeting about too. That there is rumors that Bradley, in an effort to cut costs, they are. And that's not a negative. It's just in general. They are debating bumping down their athletics to NCAA Division III.
Wow.
And that would probably make them fall in the CCIW conference with, like, Wesleyan and Carroll and Augustana. And my impressive knowledge of this is because my brother goes there. All right, moving on to the interview segment. We'll do some commercials first, then we'll come back with the Red Zone. Speaking of D3 here in the Red Zone, Illinois Wesleyan came to town last weekend. Ben and I were on the call for the men's game, and the women's game was prior to that. Both 2 huge wins, as we talked about. Coach Brian Peden, when we talked to him on Friday, had a lot of good stuff to say about Division III athletes, Division III programs. But he was one himself. He went to Wooster, and he was a graduate in 2000, and he had a lot of great stuff to say about Ron Rose and the Wesleyan program. So, you're going to hear from Luke Kazubke first, who we talked to first, one of the Redbird veteran players this season, and then you'll hear from Coach Ryan Peden for the next 20 minutes.
Luke, appreciate you doing this with us. Before we go to the game here in the next couple minutes, let's talk about this one with Illinois Wesleyan. You've obviously never played them in your time. It's been 50-some years. Is it big for the community? What are you seeing so far with this game being set up?
Yeah, definitely huge for the community. You know, there's a lot of talk around town. A lot of people excited about this game. And like you said, we haven't played them in 50-plus years, and they're right down the road. So, you know, both programs making this happen is big time, and it's good that the community is excited and we're excited to get out there and play.
How excited for your own season? Do you like what you've been seeing so far out of practice, out of yourself? Do you have any expectations for yourself this season?
Yeah, definitely. Super excited. After you play against your teammates for so long, you know, you're ready to play against somebody new. So excited to, you know, to play somebody new and to get the season started, see where we're at. You know, I love this team. I love everybody on this team. I think we have a lot of pieces and a lot of potential to do something very special this year. But, you know, we still have to go out there and do it. As far as expectations, you know, I don't want to place expectations on anything. I think if, you know, we just continue to work and focus on the things that we need to focus on and the stuff right in front of us, then everything else will take care of itself.
Talk about how much you love this team. A lot of new guys with your team this year. How have they been? How have they fit into kind of the fold? You say you've been playing each other a lot, but as that translates into playing others?
No, yeah, it's been great. You know, when they all got here in the summer, we bonded very quickly. Like I said, a lot of new pieces that I think filled the needs that we needed to, you know, have a great team this year and have a great season. So, yeah, very excited. Love all the new guys. Getting along great. And we're just trying to keep working and building on that.
For yourself personally, has there been anything that you've been working on specifically this offseason to try and take your game to the next level?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is just in the weight room, just trying to put on some weight, get stronger so, you know, I could guard bigger guys. I won't get pushed around as much, and, you know, I could hold my own on offense, get guys off of me, things like that. And then just continuing to improve my game, expand my game. I always focus on shooting. You know, you could always become a better shooter, so just continuing to focus on that and expand my game as well.
There's been a lot of talk with maybe other ISU programs and generally about the importance of the non-conference season. I mean, it not necessarily is about your record, but it's more of what you're getting out of it. What is that you guys are aiming to do here in your first couple games when you're not playing valley opponents?
Yeah, just continue to get better. You know, like I said, we're excited to play somebody new, so just focusing on doing the right thing and continuing to get better as a team and be prepared for when we do reach those Valley games, because, you know, that's the most important part of the season. We want to win championships, so just being ready and being prepared for those games.
Besides this one, obviously, because it's a big one, are there any certain games you have circled on your calendar ready to go that you're just ready to get out there and compete against?
Yeah, there's definitely a few. You know, obviously all the Valley games are very fun. Everybody knows each other. But St. Louis in St. Louis, that's one I'm looking forward to, just being from there, going back home, having family come to the game, and then definitely that Kentucky one as well. We're all really excited about that, too.
Being from St. Louis, talking to your family at games like that, does that get you more nervous or more excited to go out there and play?
No.
You got all those people.
Yeah, more excited. You know, I've been playing in front of them all my life, so, you know, just going back home and giving everybody an opportunity to come see me right down the road instead of, you know, having to make a trip and make travel plans. It's big time, and, you know, I know all my friends and family back home are looking forward to that as well. So definitely not anything to be nervous about, but something that I'll have circled on my calendar for sure.
You mentioned earlier about how close your teammates became instantly, yep. Even the new ones and ones that have obviously been around. How big of a factor is Coach Pete in that? Because he clearly, culture is obviously a big thing for him.
Definitely. It's everything. You know, Coach Pete talks about it a lot. You know, he's very, very specific on the type of players that he likes to recruit and guys that will fit this program, because culture is so important when you're trying to, you know, build a program and win championships. And, you know, culture is very fragile at the same time. So, you know, just getting the right guys in here, good guys, it's huge. And, you know, I think that's a big reason why we did bond so quickly in the summer.
What was that event like last week out in Uptown Normal? What was that like for you guys?
Yeah, it was sick. It was sick. It was a great idea. You know, the weather wasn't great. There was some drizzles, but there was still a lot of people out there. It was still a great showing, especially for the first year. So we loved it, and, you know, hopefully it's something that we could keep doing in the future.
I feel like Ryan has brought in a lot more of these events like that. Like, I mean, I don't know how much you know about the time previous before you were here, but, I mean, we didn't see a lot of the Ball on Buford thing, or the Portland Fieldhouse games, and meeting up with Illinois Wesleyan. I think that goes into a lot of getting fans in the arena, getting fans excited about your team.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. You know, Coach Peden talks about it all the time. You know, we want to be able to make an impact in the community, not just be, you know, basketball players here. We want to represent Illinois State right, represent the basketball program right, and, you know, ultimately just inspire other people with our play and, you know, how we act out in the community. So getting the community involved, you know, is definitely something Coach Peden is focused on, and, you know, I think is really important for building a successful program as well.
Luke, we appreciate you doing this with us today. Thank you. So, Coach, obviously, Illinois Wesleyan, you haven't played them in your time, but I don't think many of your predecessors could say the same. I mean, it's been 50-some years.
Yeah.
What was it about this opportunity that was it appealing to you to play, you know, a cross-town rival?
Yeah, 53 years, to be exact. And, you know, this is a great thing for our community. I've been very consistent in saying I think from our end, men's basketball end, this was rooted in two things. Number one, respect. I have great respect for Ron Rose. I have great respect for the program that he's built, the consistency of their program. We respect the institution that's in our town that we share this great city with. And I want to be able to shine light on Division III student athletes too in any way I can. I was a former Division III student athlete, so respect for Division III student athletes. I feel a real responsibility to do that in any of the small ways that I can. The second is community, you know, and community is very important to us. We've said from the very beginning, for us to be our best as we maximize the growth and the ceiling of this program, and we continue to improve that year by year, community is going to be a major league part of that. And this is a basketball-centered community. I think basketball is embraced by all those that are in the Bloomington-Normal area and especially our region. So the idea of bringing our community together on one afternoon in the fall on a Sunday afternoon here in late October, it's a pretty special opportunity. So we're excited about it, and certainly renewing the rivalry adds to the interest in the game. But this would be a pretty cool thing for our town.
How big does community play into your team's culture? Because obviously you're trying to build a culture here. You've already laid the groundwork, but making your players buy in that this community truly does care about basketball and carrying it on for future potential recruits.
For sure. So community, I've said this, and I continue to say this in our recruiting pitch. When I sit down with recruits and their families, and I say, I would want you to know from the very start, we're recruiting you here, and if you chose to come here, you'd be coming to make an impact on those around you. That's part of the deal that you sign up for. I don't want to just be the type of program that just goes and reads books at a school a couple times a year and think that that's community service. I want to be a part of this community in a lot of different ways. I want to be a part of the fabric of our community. I want our style of play and what we value and how we play to mirror the values of our community. And I'm lucky because I'm at an institution and a place that allows us to do that.
Where do those grow from you? From Ohio State or Worcester? Where did you get that in your career that you wanted that?
Well, I'm a product of the Midwest. You know, I've spent 23, going into year 23 coaching. I'm going into year 45 as a human being, and I've been a resident of three states, and Ohio, Indiana, and the state of Illinois. I like to think that the values that I have as a basketball coach coincide with our values that we've been raised on, right? And I was raised on as a young man by my parents, and as a basketball player by my coaches, and now as a coach by my mentors. So, I lean into that. Always have and always will. I'm a product of the Midwest. I want my teams to be a product of the Midwest for the most part. And I want our values to resonate with the people in our region.
Coach, do you remember a specific time at all in your career playing Illinois Wesleyan in your time at Worcester? Was there a time?
Did not. We never played the Titans, but I was very aware of their program. I've been aware of Coach Rose for a long time from afar, and then getting to meet him. I did work with an assistant coach on his staff, Andy Etheridge. I worked with him at Illinois. He was one of our graduate assistants for 2 years, 2013 through 15. And I just have great respect for their program. I know that they've been highly successful for a long stretch, and that's easier said than done. It's a great institution. I've been on their campus many times. I've been to a Ron Rose practice. I went when I, last summer when I was in my first year, going into my first year. So great respect for them. And, so we're looking forward to kind of locking horns here for an afternoon. We'll be adversaries for an afternoon, but we're partners in this town and in this community.
Looking forward to this season. You said you want to build your program on the Midwest. You were able to pluck a couple transfers from Midwestern schools in Wisconsin and Illinois. What do those guys bring to your team for this year, and what have you really liked so far?
Well, those two guys specifically, I'll say this. Number one, both have come from highly successful programs. Great respect for Brad Underwood and his staff and the job they do there. Great respect for Greg Gard and his staff and what they do there at Wisconsin. So, number one, they're both products of really successful programs, okay, highly successful programs. Number two, there is a correlation here between winning in the Missouri Valley Conference and what that takes versus winning in the Big Ten Conference and what's required to do that. A lot of the same types of basketball being played, sort of a brand that honors toughness, a brand that has no shortcuts. You better be well coached. You better be tough. You better play the right way in both of those conferences, and you're not going to gimmick your way to victories. So they're used to that. That's substance to me. That's basketball character to me. And both of those guys and those young men, I know the programs that they've come from very well, and I appreciate the basketball that they've played and been accustomed to, and now I want them to bring that that style and that brand of ball to our program.
What was your trip to St. Louis like a couple weeks ago, probably a week or two ago by now, right, for the media day? And did you get a chance to talk to some of those guys who you probably have before, those veteran coaches in the Valley? And what is it starting to look like this year for your competition?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The Missouri Valley Conference, they hold their media day in St. Louis. They do a great job. It's highly organized. You know, you're in and out of there and shoot 6 or 7 hours, and they've got a program. They have lunch, and then they jump you around to different interviews and things like that. So it's fun for the players. It's fun for the coaches. You know, it's a pretty cool experience, and you get to interact with other coaches a little bit, not a ton. We spent some time together doing a community service event at a local school, and that was very rewarding. And it is kind of cool to interact with guys that you're competing against, you know, guys right. that you're kind of trained to hate for 2 or 3 months a year in your conference. And, you know, what you find is they're pretty good guys. And, you know, I don't want to get too close to them because then I'll start liking them. So, you know, I say hello, we say our piece, and we keep moving because those are guys that we want to beat. For January, February, and March, and but a lot of respect.
Where do you guys think you stack up in the Valley right now when you look at your total roster overall?
Well, I think this. I think our roster is much deeper this year than it was. I think we have a lot more talent, and I think we have more versatility. I think we're going to be a stronger team than we were a year ago. I think we'll be able to impose ourselves on our opponents physically more than we could a year ago. And I like the blend. I feel like we have pieces that fit together. As I compare that to the rest of the league, it's hard for me to do. And I sort of resist going there because I've been asked similar questions in interviews all fall. But I think that's our challenge, right, as coaches and as players. Like, how do we stack up? I believe we're going to be a lot better than we're being picked. I know that. Yeah. It's important to me that we have marked improvement from last year. We lost a lot of close games. That was painful. But, you know, there's a saying out there that says true growth requires struggle. And I'm a big believer in that. And we've had to fight through some mud. That is a part of building your program up. That's normal. That's par for the course. Okay, what are we going to do with what we learned last year, and how are we going to turn that into a positive for Redbird basketball?
Luke reiterated that same point about getting bigger, physically, you know, making a physical, more bigger presence. Is that something program-wide that you guys have talked about this offseason?
Absolutely. You know, nutrition is a big part of that. Strength and conditioning is a big part of that. You know, and our coaches who we have in that area, Sarah Wright in our nutrition area, Ryan Swenson in our strength and conditioning area, they've made real important contributions to the well-being of our players. And their efforts do not go unnoticed or unappreciated. So our players are the ones that have done the work. It requires a lot of hard work. It requires a lot of discipline. Requires a certain level of education as well, more than maybe, you know, you would think, because what players are putting into their bodies, the effects of, you know, eating a clean lifestyle versus, you know, going to McDonald's every day, that can separate you as an athlete. And what we're trying to do here is build championship caliber athletes, so we can build a championship caliber program.
How excited are you for your young freshman class? And I don't want you to unveil all your secrets, but how much do you think we're going to see of them this year?
Yeah, I think I'm really excited to answer your question first. I'm excited about each of them individually, very much so, and I'm equally as excited about them collectively. All three of them can help us, and they can help us win as freshmen. To what level that will be, how impactful their role will be, how many minutes they'll play, that's up to them. You know, I don't go into a season predetermining exactly how I think it'll all play out. You have an idea in your mind as a coach because you have to. But I'm being real transparent with you, saying here, I'm going to be in the process of figuring a lot of things out as we go. Half of our team is new. We have 7 new scholarship players, 1 new walk-on. So half of our team is new. So if I want to tell you that I have all the answers here on October 27th or 8th or 9th, then I would not, I wouldn't be real honest with you. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. My job as a coach is to maximize that, right? And take the talent that we have, mesh it together. It's going to require sacrifice and get guys to buy into roles. But how can we maximize that as a program and become the best team we can be?
Coach, I'll end with this, and I know this is something we've talked about before, but a lot of the guys you brought in have been to the Big Dance. They played in the March. You have, as an assistant coach. Illinois State, obviously the elephant in the room. It's been a good while. What is it about, you know, getting back to that point that keeps you guys going, and how exciting would that be to get back to that point?
Oh, I think it'd be life-changing. You know, that's something that we talk about in recruiting is you gotta be the right type of guy to sign on to come here to chase something that hasn't been done since 1998. And we're planning on doing that, okay? We're planning on doing that. But that requires the right kind of guys, too. Guys that lean into challenges, that take them head on, not guys that would run from challenges. But if we were able to do something like that here in the coming years, yeah, I think that would be life-changing for our young men. The NCAA tournament is the most addicting feeling that you can have as a college basketball player or coach. Far more than these kids even know, right? We've got some guys that have been there, but for those that haven't, they have no clue. And that's part of our job is to, I got to paint that picture. I got to create that feeling so they have an understanding of, man, what would it be like to be there? And then put the required work in that's necessary. It's a lot of hard work from a lot of different people to get your program from where ours has been to where we want it to go. And certainly, you know, Coach Mueller before us, they had great seasons. They did everything but get to the tournament. I think as he and Coach Jankovic before him, like, had got as close as you could possibly be to going as an at-large team. Didn't, but it's not like we haven't had success around here. We're trying to get this thing back to not only where they had it, but way beyond, and ultimately to help to take this program to places that it's never been before. But in order to do that, you got to speak it into existence, and you got to get the right guys in your locker room too. I always want to state that the importance of that is, you know, if you're trying to do things that have never been done before or haven't been, in this case, done in a long time, that's going to require a very special group of people. Yes, basketball players, talented players and talented dudes, but guys that have real character and real substance and are able to take on the challenge of getting this program back to where it needs to be.
Coach, I always appreciate talking to you and how much you do for the community. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for sitting down with us today.
Awesome to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Guest host, we used to always do a draft segment. I don't know, it just kind of became a thing. And then we took a break because, I think we just got kind of sick of it. But now we're gonna bring it back because this is a great day in history. It's W Day, as it's once called. And after the holiday, 7 years ago today, your Chicago Cubs won the World Series.
Yeah.
And the Rangers won their very own World Series in franchise history yesterday. And a ton of other stuff has happened this week. Obviously, the first week of November, it is World Series week. So let's do a World Series draft. I think that's the move.
Yeah.
Was you want to Ben? Do you want to explain? Or you want me to explain?
I mean, you could go ahead.
You want me to explain? Yeah, you explain.
Sure, I'll do it.
I'm done talking.
So the draft order is Ben and then Mikey and then myself, and it's a snake draft. So then we go back around, just like a fantasy draft or something. We are picking 4 teams in total of just all of the teams that made the World Series between this year and 2000. We're picking 3 teams that won the World Series, and then our 4th and final team is one of the teams that lost the World Series.
Perfect. You explained it perfect. That was perfect.
Let's go.
Perfect. Let's
See,
go.
20 minutes without my voice, I got all charged up.
Went
for
on
that.
Vocal rest.
Yes.
You were good. Thanks, by the way,
I was
Coach
on load
Ryan
management.
Pete and Luke Kazupki, load management, for doing that interview. We're going to start with Ben. I think I know who your 1-1. Oh, no, I should say one thing that Fogerson left out. We are not going by favorite. Theoretically, this is by best World Series team. So when you vote later on the Twitter sphere, the X sphere, let's make sure we vote by who has the best collection of teams that were like, yeah, they were good. And not just your favorites. But you can pick favorites. I think there's some favorites to be picked from in this pool.
I think whoever has the 16 Cubs is going to win.
Is going
no matter
to win.
What.
Just well, by locality.
I'm taking them.
Yeah, I knew you would.
I wasn't going to pass them. When I saw that number one pick, I was like, well, you know, maybe not. I mean, those are 2016 Cubs. 103 wins in the regular season. They had one of the great starting rotations of all time. When you look at the numbers, when you – John Lester, Jake Arrieta, John Lackey, Kyle Hendricks, obviously. And just an all-time great lineup, too. And I think it's a World Series that's so important to not only the city of Chicago, but – the entire sport of baseball. I'm not saying that it put it back on the map, but I think it
at least...
It's
the last time they ever had that many viewers.
Exactly.
It's just gone steadily downhill since then.
It kicked it in the butt to get it back to where it's at kind of right now, and I think we're in a good place with baseball, and I think it's such an important championship, whether I'm a Cubs fan or not. And they're a great team.
Yeah,
not counting that out either.
Well, I'm between 2 years of the same team. I'll be honest, it's either the 04 Red Sox that broke the curse or the 2018 Red Sox that, by statistics, probably are the best team to win the World Series in the last 20 years. I'm going to have to...
They were also cheating, by the way.
All right, fine. You're making me feel bad. Okay, fine. No, I'm kidding. I'm still going with the 18 Red Sox. I think that they were really, really good.
I didn't think anyone else was going to take them.
They were insane.
If we put them in a graphic, we're putting a big old asterisk next to
no,
your pay.
They're not the Astrolakes. They're Alex Cora and all them. They figured it out. They were fine. They figured it out. They were fine. That team was insane. I have no idea why they traded Mookie Betts to this day. Kind of like the awkward question they asked Corey Seager last night.
Oh,
why
gosh,
didn't the Dodgers let you go?
That was horrible.
That was bad.
That was bad.
From a journalism perspective, that was terrible. Like, and he's just like, oh, no. And he just, like, shook it off, like, dude, what? Like, that's great. And you hear the reporter double back. He tried to clean up his own mess. He's like, what, you're not going to say anything? Like, laughing. And Corey was just like, and then the media, like, relations person immediately was like, any more questions?
Yeah.
Good for the SID guy, basically, to say that. Because, like, what? That was ridiculous. All right, so I'm taking the 2018 Red Sox, the Rocks.
All-time great team.
Yep. So, 2 good first picks. That's who I think would go 1-1 and 1-2, I would think, except for the 04 Red Sox. Obviously a great story. I was debating picking them, the 3-0 comeback. We'll see if they get taken into all during this draft. Fogerson?
So, Bruce Bochy, an amazing manager, leading a team.
It's 4 teams on this
people
list.
People that, I mean, you just had a group of really great talent coming together under one manager that just completely knows what he's doing in the playoffs. 4 options. I'm going to split that dynasty right down the middle and go 2012 Giants, who swept the Tigers that year and had Panda as series MVP.
Panda. Are you going
to
pick again, by the way?
Let me recap
the first round. What are you thinking? So Ben went with the 2016 your Chicago Cubs. I went with the 2018 Red Sox, and Braden Fogerson with the 2012 Giants. Round 2.
I kind of forgot I had.
You have an opportunity to do something, maybe the funniest thing ever, and pick another Giants team.
I could, theoretically.
What if you just pick all 3 Giants teams? Just in the graphic, it's just 12 Giants, 14 Giants,
I hope there's
Giants.
Some Giants fans in the audience.
I wish the Giants would have lost one of them, well, and so then it would be Braden would just
the 0-2 Giants. They lost.
You could technically. That'd be awesome.
That is great.
For some reason, I thought that was the Padres. No, that was 98. So that'd be great if you had the Giant-only team.
Yeah. Give me the 2000 New York Yankees.
Okay.
I wish I could pick a losing team.
I was surprised I didn't go in the first round. That is like almost like people don't realize, or people probably do if they're a baseball fan, but like that's the earliest back you can go on our like draft list here that I have in front of me. And if we went just a couple years back, like that Yankees dynasty would be like the most hot commodity. Like they won, what was it, two before then, and then a third one in 96.
Yeah.
So they were insane. They only got broken up by the Marlins like twice, which is kind of weird. Kind of like Eli Manning beating Tom Brady in the Super Bowl twice. All right, moving on to round number two for me. I wanna pick the COVID Dodgers. I do. Because that was the – maybe I'll wait and pick them as a loser. Wait and pick them as a loser. Because
COVID Dodgers won.
But no, I know, but they'll pick them in like 17 or 18 or any of the other times.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I wanted to go with the COVID Dodgers.
I mean, go for it.
No, not doing it. Let's do the 2021 Braves. I like them. And it was the last time the Braves will ever win a World Series in our lifetime. Ayo, I said it. No, I'm kidding. They'll be fine moving forward. But I love Freddie. I love that team. They were so much fun. And I just hate them now. They've become hateable since then. But at the time, I loved them. And a lot of that has to do with Freddie Freeman leaving.
Yep. I'm going to do the all-time underdog story. Might not be the great all-time great regular season team, but they turned it around, and they had one of the most fun teams I've seen in my lifetime, 19 Nationals.
Yeah.
Just an all-time great lineup, too. They were not – the way that they performed in the regular season is clearly did not show until they got to the playoffs with Soto and Turner and Rendon before he became a bum. Next pick, I'm back-to-back. I'm going to stick within the last couple years here because I don't really want to – pick when I wasn't really watching baseball that much. So I'll go to the 22 Astros.
Yeah.
As much as it's missing a Carlos Correa, that lineup was just absurd because you got young guys like Alvarez and Tucker on the scene that just went ballistic that postseason. Altuve and Bregman are all-time postseason legends. And, yeah, I think that's one of the great teams of the last – since 2000s.
I'm literally just staring down the list. Well, Fulgerson is at a crossroads for his pick. Because
know what my pick is.
Well, I might pick him before you.
I doubt it.
We will see you next round. Give me the 2011 St. Louis Cardinals. As much as a Cubs fan as I am, I'm a huge Cubs fan. We have to admit that call was all time. And the only thing that I debated picking just because of the call, well, the team's obviously good too. That's what we're picking based on. But the only thing that I was debating picking was the 08 Phillies, because I love that call just slightly better. Brad Lynch and the Philadelphia Phillies are world champions of baseball in 2008. That is the all-time radio call. But no, I'm going with the Cardinals. They were a better team. They were insane. The Rangers lost in that World Series. David Freese and the Cardinals won Game 6 and 7 at home, and it was an all-time series. And so I'm being unbiased, taking off my blue and red glasses for a second, and picking Braden Fogerson's Cardinals. And he still has the 06 Cardinals or the 05 White Sox to pick from.
So here's the deal, right? I think the 2011 Cardinals were a better pick than 06 because the 2006 Cardinals, all of the stars that we now know and love today were kind of young. They were kind of like, you know, little babies.
little baby.
And, you know, what a team of, you know, it worked out. I mean, they won 4-1. But a team that I think was really, really impressive, a team that was very well put together as well, I mean, come on. So here's the deal. It's the 02 Angels because they beat
Barry Bonds.
The Giants with Barry Bonds. They kept Barry Bonds from winning the World Series. And that Angels squad, just very talented. Mike Socha was a really good manager at the time.
Troy Glaus.
I mean, Scott Spezio, baby. For the 06 Cardinals,
they had the rally
too.
Monkey. He would come on the Jumbotron. He would bounce around.
Yeah.
When they wanted to get some runs, and it actually worked.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They still do that.
Let's go for that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Rally Monkey Angels. We'll see what we have for the losers now, but we'll go over our rosters here. So Ben went with the 2016 Cubs, 2019 Washington Nationals, and 2022 Houston Astros. I went with the 2018 Red Sox, the 2021 Braves, and the 2011 Cardinals. Braden Fogerson, the 2012 Giants, the only Giants team on the board, the 2000 Yankees, and the 02 Anaheim Angels of Anaheim of Los Angeles of Anaheim. The losers. Brayden, you get to pick again right away.
Ben, you picked the Cubs with the first pick. I picked the Guardians with the first pick.
The team formerly known as the Indians.
They were so, so good. It's just the Cubs were also so, so good.
That pitching staff just Corey Kluber, Andrew Miller.
Yeah.
Josh Tomlin, Trevor Bauer.
Yeah, I mean, it was very young at the time, but Trevor Bauer.
What'd you say?
Trevor Bauer's good now. He's cleaned up.
I was messing with you.
Do you remember Trevor Bauer cut his, missed the World Series game with a drone?
Yeah. Well, you see Mookie Betts endorsed Trevor Bauer during the World Series. Yeah. That was big. And wherever you stand on that, that's surprising that Mookie said that
Especially for a guy that's so nationally respected.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So I was surprised that he said that. But we'll leave that one be as we move on. So Brayden had the 2016 team formerly known as the Indians for his pick. Oh, man. There's a lot of good options here. I kind of want to run through some options here. We only have like a minute left in this segment, but I'm thinking of all the Dodgers teams. The 2017 Dodgers were insane. I'm thinking of last year's Phillies. I'm going to go with the 2017 Dodgers. That team was insane. Sports Illustrated cursed them by saying, best team ever, ? And it was a picture of Justin Turner walking it off. And then they lost in the World Series. And so, Ben, you're rubbing your hands together like your pick is still there.
It fell to me. I was so happy. I was hoping this one would fall to me. He picked the 2012 Giants. Give me the 2012 Tigers. Even though they got swept in the World Series, that team was insane. You have Justin Verlander and Max Scherzer in the middle of their prime, finishing first and second in the Cy Young race. The same year, Miguel Cabrera won the Triple Crown, and they signed Prince Fielder. That team was insane. They deserved to win a World Series. At some point, just luck was never on their side.
It's not how it works. You don't deserve to win anything. You either win or you don't.
Tough. Not how it works. Tough luck, man. Let's go to pick six.
Go tell the fans in Cleveland that one. Ben had the Cubs, Nationals, Astros, and his loser was the Tigers. I had the Red Sox, Braves, Cardinals, and Dodgers. Brayden had the Giants, Yankees, Angels, and Indians. Do you think Rajay Davis keeps his like most memorable moment of the 2016 playoffs trophy on his mantle, or do you think it's a bad memory?
Yes. They like
he won the best. He won like fan vote most memorable moment or something like that.
Taking off the blue and red glasses, as you always say, that was a cool moment.
It was awesome.
It, you could look at it now and be like, okay, that's pretty cool because the Cubs ended up winning. But that was, and at the moment, it was the worst thing that
Francisco Lindor shouldn't have taken a nap.
Your MVP, Mitchell Trubisky.
Where is this going?
We're naming worthless awards.
Coming up on the Red Zone, we'll hit the pick six. Welcome back after that.
On previous breaks, by the way, we were talking about meaningless awards for Mitchell Trubisky and his MVP, and now on pick six, we're going to be talking about the MVP, Mitchell Trubisky, and his Pittsburgh Steelers.
So, we're going to replace Mike.
Got it! This is Brayden Bogus, by the way. It's time to get into the pick six. Tampa Bay Lightning are down 1-0, by the way, if anyone cares.
I don't care.
I still get Tampa Bay Lightning scoreless. If you don't follow me on Twitter, I've been tweeting about it. I had a bet on them 2 years ago. It wasn't even like a sports book bet. I'm only 21 now. It was a bet. It was with friend of the pod, Tom Fernelli. Yeah. We had just like an agreement for $20, and I lost, and I still never turned them off. All right, we have six good games for pick six. The Titans and the Steelers is tonight. Then we're going to do the Chiefs and the Dolphins. We'll move that one to the last pick we make, though, because that's a great game. The Bears and the Saints, the Rams and the Packers. Notice how I didn't comment on those ones. The Bills and the Bengals, another great game. And the Chargers and Jets on Sunday Night Football. Monday Night Football.
There you go.
The Sunday Night Football is the Bengals and Bills.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's a rematch of a late season match last year that unfortunately ended a bit early with the DeMar Hamlin injury.
It's not even a rematch because it's not in the books.
Yeah, they never finished that game. So now, hopefully, we will get to see the remainder of that game. Obviously, I understand why they canceled that game when they did, but that was shaping up to be a pretty solid game when it happened. So I think that'll be a good one. And it's back in Cincinnati, right?
I think so.
Let's start with tonight's game. Will Levis, Mayo and his coffee, 4 touchdowns last weekend. I don't know. He looked good against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are they starting Kenny Pickett or are they starting Mitch?
It's Kenny.
Okay, I thought it was because my friend is Kenny Pickett in fantasy. He was starting him. I'm like, Money Mitch is playing. No, it's Kenny Pickett. So it's Pickett and Levis, the future of the NFL. It's like an early Brady and Manning playing. it's like Brady and Manning in like 2004
for future backups.
What do you say?
I said for future backups.
Who's gonna be the next Nick Foles?
Yeah. I personally think this is a really interesting game because the Steelers are somehow 4-3 this year after all the
Ever count out Mike Tomlin.
I know, but Steelers fans are not big fans of Matt Canada right now. So I like Tennessee in this one because what I saw out of Will Levis last week was just really cool. I one of the great quarterback debuts of all time, I think you could say. Like his connection with Hopkins early. Steelers got a great defense, but I'm going to take the Titans in this one.
All right, Braden, you go after Ben. I'm going to keep writing in my answers.
Tighten up. Just got a feeling about this one, you know? I think he looked really good last week. Sometimes you have a quarterback that just has one really good week because no one's seen him on film, and then the next week after that, everyone figures him out. But sometimes you just have a quarterback that comes in there and does really well. And I'm leaning towards that, the latter, for this one. Also, you know, it's not raining or anything. It's just kind of cold. So there's not going to be a whole lot of weird stuff going on.
So you're going with the Titans?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do the Titans as well. I kind of like Will Levis. I think he's exciting. I think he's good. I think it's time for them to move on from Ryan Tannehill. And I think if Will Levis can play well for a couple weeks, then that could be the answer. I know I literally just said don't go against Mike Tomlin, but that doesn't mean don't go against him in any given week. It's that don't go against he'll end up going 8-8. He'll find a way.
We're all
he's
going
find a way.
Steve, though.
Steve said
the guest also has Steelers, though.
Yeah, the guest said Steelers. Thank you, Ben. We're going with America as the guest this week. We don't have news and sports guests. They'll be back next week. So America is our guest again, Lady Liberty, and Steve is taking the Steelers as well. So we do a 3-2 split. You're right, Ben. Now all of a sudden, us three can move forward. Do you want to read us the standings, by the way, now that we're
yes.
one game in?
We have.
I bumped down to the last spot.
Yes, this is it's getting very close.
Oh, separated by game.
It wants to work for me. Thank you. Steve at 32-16, the guest, taking a notch down after a bad week, 20-20. Me moving up to the third spot after being in last for 2 weeks, 27-21. Fogerson, 26-22, and Mikey Fernelli at 25-25.
Well, that's because I've been picking the Bears regularly. And this week, I'm going to start off the Bears and Saints by just saying Saints with emphasis. New Orleans with an exclamation point.
Woo!
I'm just done picking the Bears. There was like this momentary lapse where I decided I was going to start picking the Bears again, both on my confidence pool thing and this. And I'm just done. I don't have any interest in this team. Like, I hadn't watched them on Sunday Night Football, or I hadn't watched them during Sunday during the day in 2 weeks. And then I decided to watch them last Sunday night. I was like, oh, it's still the Bears. I'm still a fan. Nothing else on TV. It's Sunday Night Football. Nope.
I am going to agree with you that the Saints are going to win this game, but I'm looking at this right now to get America's pick, and 9.5 points for the Saints is pretty that feels like a lot for a team that's been up and down
really?
Thus far. Yeah. I don't know.
So you're going with the Saints as well. America's going with the Saints as well.
Yeah.
Steve went with the Saints. Ferguson to make it a sweep.
Who is Tyson Bagent?
Bagent?
Yeah, he's not
Bagent.
Winning. Saints are winning.
Pick 5.
Okay, we can make fun of Tyson Bagent.
I can't make fun of Tyson Bagent.
No, because we'll just make fun of Derek Carr.
That's fine. That's fine. He's not on my team anymore. I'll live with it. He's kind of old.
Fine, we'll make fun. What's his name? Not Garoppolo. Who's starting for the Raiders this week? I forget his name already.
It's AOC.
Aiden O'Connell.
AOC.
Yeah.
We've talked about that on the podcast. I forgot about that. AOC. That's great. All right, moving on to the Rams and the Packers. Steve went with the Packers, which I'm surprised by. He's usually a complete Packers hater, being a Lions fan in a year where they're actually good. I'm surprised he picked the Packers. I'm picking the Rams. I don't know if Stafford's playing.
Yeah,
that's going to be the big thing. I don't like that we pick on this on Thursday for that reason. I'm going with the Rams, though, because I've seen nothing about the Packers that actually makes me think they're by any means good. So I'm going with the Rams in this one.
So the last time I questioned a quarterback injury, whether someone was going to play or not, I think it was in the Bengals game, and I picked against
the Bengals.
The Bengals, and they ended up winning.
Yeah, you can't pick against a quarterback thing. Like, that just always
exactly.
always
works out. So yeah. I'm going to take the better quarterback. I'm going to take the better team in this matchup. Yeah. I'm going to go with the Rams.
We can't forget that the Rams are just 2 years separated from winning it all. Like, yes, they lost a lot of what they brought into that, but, like, they're still a solid team.
And at the end of the day, it's all that really matters is that they have Matthew Stafford
right.
and Cooper Kupp. That is how they win games, and that's how they won all three of their games this year.
Yeah.
Or Puka, whoever it might be.
Rams.
Yeah.
I think they have a really good receiving core, and I don't think it really matters who the quarterback is. Sometimes, you know, just throw a drag route in there.
Who is the other option? Is it John Wolford still?
Wow.
Who? What?
No.
America's got the Packers.
Well, America's wrong. Who's the backup on the Rams? Do you know? I think, is it still like John Wolford or whatever?
I don't think Wolford is.
Stetson Bennett was drafted there, but I think he was taking like a leave of absence.
We should probably know. Yes, he's
not with the team. Stetson Bennett was not with the team. That's why I don't know, because I don't know. It would have been Stetson.
It is Brett Ripien.
It would have been all time.
He used to be with the Broncos.
It would have been Nick Folesweek on Red Zone. He would have just hosted the show if it was like Will Levis playing, Stetson Bennett, Aiden O'Connell, Kenny Pickett. Well, yeah. Kenny Pickett's technically a starter now for now. It's funny that Mitch is his backup because Kenny Pickett's set up to just have a Mitch Trubisky type career. Right. Like a couple weird years where like they're okay, and then he signs like a lucrative contract with another team as like a backup. It's just gonna happen. He's gonna do it, and maybe he'll win an MVP trophy on his way, as Culberson. Moving on to the Bills and the Bengals, as we discussed at the top of this segment, that is a matchup a year in the making, and I think it'll be a good one. That's for sure. I'm going to start with Steve, who went with the Cincinnati Bengals. Ben, you want to go next?
Yeah, I'm going to keep riding the Bengals' tail. They do this every year to us where they're not a good team, and then all of a sudden Joe Burrow turns into an MVP, and those receivers start clicking, and that defense clicks, and everything works out. So Bills are a solid football team. I know they're limping a little bit. I think they got a win last week, right? Or correct me if I'm wrong.
I don't even remember. They've been playing such irrelevant football.
Yeah, it's been weird football for the Bills, and I like the football the Bengals have been playing. They beat the Buccaneers on Thursday night.
Yeah, they're 3-2 in their last five games, but they've just been playing a lot of weird football.
Yeah.
But they had that win against the Giants that was just so abysmal on a night game. I forget if it was Sunday or Monday night, but it was terrible. I'm going to go with the Bengals as well. Like Ben pointed out, it's kind of a perfect storm of the Bengals finally kind of figuring it out and the Bills playing really weird football recently. Braden?
NFL's not going to let the Bills lose on the return of the DeMar Hamlin game. The Fair Bills enough. Are going to win that.
You're the only one with the Bills.
And there's going
America's
to be
going
so
with the
many...
Bengals,
you know, there's either going to be several replays or no replays at all, or mention of. There's going to at least be mention of.
Oh, it's going to be mentioned all over.
I bet they'll do like. I bet the Bills like hospital staff will come on the field beforehand, whether or not that's on TV.
The DeMar Hamlin ambulance.
Yeah, they have it. Well, that's it. That's at Highmark Stadium. That's in Buffalo though.
Yeah.
So that's not in Cincinnati. I bet they'll honor all those doctors in the field and stuff, which is a cool gesture. I don't know if that'll be on TV though.
No, I bet it will be. It's Sunday Night Football.
That's true. They're going to have Carrie Underwood, and then they'll do that.
Two to go.
Yeah, let's do Monday Night Football. Chargers and Jets. Oh, my gosh. This is two mid-teams.
Steve, with the Chargers, I like the Jets. I like the Jets continuing to get wins before Aaron Rodgers ultimately returns, whenever that might be. I know it's sooner rather than later. Somehow. I love that defense. Chargers are not that good, even though they might have caught some fire against the Bears last week. Still, I like the way that the Jets have been playing recently.
I'm going to go with the Chargers, and I'm not happy about it. I don't like the Chargers. Fogerson?
I feel like I didn't like the Jets last week. And I mean, I don't know. The Chargers can do at least solid offensively every week. I think the Chargers can win this one. There's going to be a lot of shaking up in the standings this week, by the way.
Who did America go with?
They went with the Chargers, so I'm the only one with the Jets.
How could America do that? Kidding, I picked the Chargers too. All right, we have one more game as we round out this episode. I had great clock management today. We have a two-minute drill to talk about the best game of the week.
Germany. It's in Germany.
Yeah, it's in Germany, mm-hmm. So it's the best game of the week, and it's at 8 a.m. Thank you for the reminder. I forgot about that. You take it away, one of you guys. I'm mad about that now.
I don't want to pick this game, really. I don't, because it's so much fun, and I hate that
it's
at 8
a.m. We're going to have to watch the Jets and Chargers in a prime time, but not the Chiefs and Dolphins?
Yeah. Tyreek Hill's return in Germany facing against the Chiefs. Let's do this quick. I'm going to go with the Chiefs. They have to bounce back.
I'm taking the Dolphins because the teams that go to Europe this year are 4-0 when they get there first. So, yeah.
I did see that.
They're already there.
Yeah, they got there first. They're both there now, but there's I did see that stat. That's pretty funny. But hey, there's been no games in Germany. They're just talking about London so far. But yes, this season so far, I'm gonna go with Steve went with the Dolphins. Fogers went with the Dolphins. I'm gonna go with the Chiefs, kind of for the same reason Ben said. I think they need to bounce back. I think last weekend was a fluke because Mahomes was genuinely sick. And I know people are like, oh, there's the excuse, but they literally said it before the game too. Like he had a cold, and Travis Kelce had a long night at the World Series. So.
True.
He was, and people were mad about that one. Mad as Hornets. They said, why was Kelce at the World Series the night before game? I don't know.
I don't think he was.
He was. That's why it was all over. But either way, I don't see the issue in that. Like, he's a grown man.
He was there on Friday.
No, he was there. I swear he was there on Saturday because they were talking. Are they making that big of a deal about it for? He was there a day before.
It's gonna be a big deal no matter what he does because he's in the spotlight now. With
he was
the
not there with Taylor.
And it's
that's so close to getting through a pod without
mentioning it.
Yeah.
Who is America picking, Ben?
The Chiefs.
Okay.
So 3-2.
What was the spread on that game? Did you see?
2.5.
2.5. I thought it'd be maybe a classic 1.5. I thought it'd be they're gonna give him 2.5. In Germany. They were looking for a good game in Germany. Wonder if those guys can root for who they're rooting for, at
give
least.
Give me a Toy Story broadcast.
We should have said what Germany's rooting for this instead of America.
Germany's pick.
Yeah,
I feel
Germany's
like it's
pick.
The Chiefs.
Or so the Germans would
because
have
remember the Bears and Chiefs were supposed to be this game?
Yeah,
and then the Chiefs were like, no, we don't want to face the Bears in Germany.
Well, they said they didn't
want to
lose a home game.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you for listening to this edition of The Red Zone. I'm Mikey Ferrelli alongside Ben Hootie and Braden Fogerson. Special thanks to head coach Ryan Peden and Luke Kazuki for the interviews today on the episode. Have a good night.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson Wooden now drives inside. Going to find Mary Crompton for her first three of the day. And it's good.
Curry owned the league last year.
And personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
I dare you, I've got fun.